Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paranormal Truth Seekers. I'm Ricky, your host for this evening. Welcome back, my returning listeners. If it's your first time tuning in, please click that follow button. Feel free to enter the live chat and talk with us there. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome. Hopefully so far so good this time. I think I might have figured out what's wrong with the mic. And I believe I'm still here. You still hear me, right, Josh?
Yes, I can still hear you, thankfully.
Goodness. All right, so like I said, we got Josh here. And go ahead and open this gate for him, which I'm doing late, but here we go.
Woo!
All right, going in, Josh. Let's continue our talk with the Anunnaki Chronicles. That's a title you gave me, and I love it. So let's jump on into it.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy that title. I think it makes a lot of sense. Like, I don't know. I thought of it when I was maybe ingesting some psychedelic drugs, but that's okay.
Hey, it works.
Yes, I think that personally everybody in the world needs to at least one time in their life eat some mushrooms and expand their consciousness a little bit. But, yeah,
definitely.
Interesting couple weeks. Like, again, work has been trying to kill both me and you with our ridiculous loads of passengers coming through. It takes a lot of energy.
Had a miss last week. Took a break. So hopefully we'll get the show tonight and get some listeners. 700 listeners on one of the shows. I'm close to that. Let's see if we can get a miss with this episode.
Right. Yeah, that's part of the reason why we kept the, I want to continue on with the Atlantis idea a little bit more. Like, again, it's a subject that's hard to research because there's a lot of different perspectives on the matter. But, like, what links Atlantis to the Anunnaki is Thoth, or Thoth, however you pronounce it. Many people pronounce it differently. But that is the deity. So it's an Egyptian deity, but according to the Sumerian tablet, this is Ninjas Ditta, which is the Enki's son. So, like, over time, he took on new names and became, the Egyptian god Thoth. And apparently he is the one that established Atlantis. And his goal in doing so, according to the tablets, was to try to bring humanity up out of the darkness. And, like, what does that mean? What does it mean to be brought up out of the darkness? Like, that's kind of like what the idea that Jesus and all them were trying to teach is to bring humanity out of the darkness and try to break the reincarnation cycle. And
right.
A lot of people have no idea what that is, what the reincarnation cycle is, but they will know when they die.
Yeah.
The fact is, the true you has never been born and has never died. Like, you've always been here. You know, your soul, whatever you want to call it, your soul, higher self, your consciousness, whatever you want to call it. Like, we're trapped in this third dimensional reality, we keep coming back until we solve whatever it is that we're trying to come, try to solve. Like, a lot of people say it's, clearing your karma or clearing, the darkness out of your soul. Like, personally, I believe teachers like Jesus and all that taught the answer to reincarnation. So, like, if you live in service to others and do good deeds and love your friends and family, love your enemies even more, you'll break that cycle and be able to not come back to this point. And that's as simple as the PJ needs to be, yet it's clearly been, corrupted over time throughout different interpretations of the game.
Yeah.
And the other thing, like, Atlantis as a whole, man, like, they're said to be, like, essentially the civilization, one of the major civilizations that existed. So they call it the pre-Diluvian civilizations. And that had a lot of influence on the civilizations that came after that. And it's pretty much, if you read in the different descriptions of Atlantis, like, a lot of the technology was handed down, both good and bad technology, because they're apparently possessed, great, not only great healing technology, but great weaponry too.
Right.
So much, in fact, in one of the stories, like, was war that destroyed Atlantis. And I found that funny because at the beginning, again at the beginning of that Disney movie Atlantis, there's that big explosion, right? And then all of a sudden, bam, Atlantis gets sunk. And that's what they talk about in some of these different, you know, I've uncovered all sorts of different Atlantis stories, and it's fascinating. One of them is that there was nuclear weaponry between them and the Lemurians, and that caused a global catastrophe and sank both continents. It is said that the Atlantean continent was in the Atlantic Ocean and the Lemurian continent was in the Indian Ocean. Like, you look at these maps and it's like, man, it kind of makes a lot of sense, actually. But
yeah,
I'm not going to talk about the Lemurian stuff because that is outside of the scope of this. But it is important to mention because according to these, you know, his ancient historians and different authors and whatnot, they were both considered to be civilizations filled with gods. Like, they didn't call them humans, they called them gods. And it's important to remember that the Anunnaki were considered gods because they were not only way bigger than regular people, but they possessed advanced, they said magic, but it was more than likely advanced technology.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, like the idea if you were to go back in time with a cell phone, people would think that you had a magic device.
No doubt. How far we've come, but at the other side of the spectrum, they were way more advanced than we are now in comparison.
Right. So, like, they were more advanced, right, like technologically and whatnot, but clearly they still had this whatever this violent gene is that makes us want to kill each other. Because, I mean, despite their advancement, they still destroyed one another, I mean, according to some of these texts. Like, just like the Anunnaki, in the Sumerian tablets, it's completely filled with war. Like, for as advanced as they were primitive in that kind of regard because they were literally killing each other and fighting for power and dominance. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, what is it that was driving it? Perhaps it's the same thing that drives humans. Maybe we inherited that from them, you know what I mean? Why we kill each other and take over lands. And this is my spot. This is my spot. I'll blow you up if you try to take it.
They call it human nature.
Right. But, what, I mean, where does that come from? Like, I mean, you don't see animals. I mean, animals, yes, they do fight for territory, I guess. That's a good point. But they don't go near as far as humans would go. Like, leveling innocent cities and shit like that for the sake of war, man, or for the sake of conquering. And enslaving other humans, that's one of the worst things, you know, enslavement.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's been super fun researching the subject, and, like, it's definitely, there's, like, multiple different theories. I forgot that there was actually multiple theories on the Anunnaki. So one theory classifies them as, like, a group of reptilian humanoids. That's, like, the one side of the conspiracy community believes that, and one side believes that, you know, they were not only the creators of mankind, but there was good and evil amongst both of them. I don't know. You can look into either one. I mean, I tend to err on the other side of them not being reptilian, but that's my thoughts. Like, I don't know. A lot of people laugh, like, they gawk at the idea whenever you mention that. It's like the first thing people think, oh, the lizard people. He's one of those lizard people believers. And that tends to be one of the laughing things, you know what I mean, that gets people laughing. It's easier to research just from, like, you know, all the depictions they have on all over in the Middle East and stuff like that of the Anunnaki gods. They look very much like us. And
yeah.
Again, harkens back to the idea, right, harkens back to the idea in the Bible that, you know, we were created in their image. Because that would make a lot of sense. Genetic clones.
It makes perfect sense.
Right. So, like, one of the things I've also done this week is reread the Emerald Tablets of Thoth the Atlantean because I figured it was going to be important. And I've now had to read it twice because, of course, it's super dense material to understand. It's super dense.
No doubt.
I definitely recommend reading the one by Billy Carson because, again, he's got a lot of explanations in there, and it helps kind of break up a lot of what he's saying and the different source. He even lists the sources behind, you know, where he's got. Like when he explains something, he lists the source that he got that from. He's not just making it up. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I like about this particular researcher.
That's the researcher.
Was that? You're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, so that's a good researcher to especially support what they're finding in their stuff.
Right. I'm only hearing like every other word you're saying right now. Unfortunately, I don't know if it's my headphones or what.
Yeah, there's no telling. Something's been interfering with us here lately. I mean,
there we go.
It's always.
I got you now.
Always.
I got you now. All right.
Let's push on.
Right. So, like, again, the Emerald Tablets of Thothi Atlantean, originally translated by Doriel, and they suggest that Atlantis actually existed as far back as 36,000 years ago, till about in between 9 and 12,000 BC, whenever the flood actually happened. And, again, a lot of people mock the idea of the flood, but there's all kinds of proof that the, you know, the deluge or the flood actually did happen. And some say
right.
It was the ice age, you know, was over, all the snow melted, bam, that created it. The Sumerian version of that, like, is the, I'll just read it. I'll read it straight from the Sumerian tablet. So this is when, according to them, that Atlantis was actually sunk. And then I'll read the other version where they were sank because of war. Anyway, so this is just straight from the Sumerian tablets. It says, the next time Nibiru, closest to Earth, shall approach, the snow ice off the white land surface shall come a-sliding, a watery calamity. So I'm assuming that means like a iceberg breaks off. The white land surface shall come a-sliding, a watery calamity shall it cause. By a huge wave, a deluge, the earth will be overwhelmed. And I think that's when they were all of the group talking, because they were going to allow their creations to get destroyed in order to start over. And that's all but a few perished, and the water receded, and the continents of Atlantis and Lemuria were gone. Again, that's pretty fascinating. It's, again, one of many different worries on how it collapsed. It's obviously impossible to know the exact truth because, again, even if we are reading the Sumerian tablets version of it, this is an account, right? They could have obviously
right.
left stuff out. You could have obviously told it in a way that made themselves out to look good. And that's definitely something to think of when you're researching history. Like, not everything is as it seems, as is the case in life, right? You go through life, and obviously not everything is as it seems. And taking everything at face value, you find is ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
It is.
Again, throughout school and all that, we're taught to take it at face value and never question it. Because when you do, you become a conspiracy theorist.
That's right.
Bust out your tinfoil hat, Ricky. I need you to bust out your tinfoil hat.
Oh, I'm wearing it.
Always. Oh, I never take it off, man. I don't want the government getting in my mind. That's stupid. No, the idea of that
it
is because they're definitely inside. They've already taken it off.
Yes, they are. There they are. Definitely in
the cell phone. The cell phone you have in your house and the watch that you're probably wearing knows everything about you.
It certainly does. Even your biometrics, it knows everything.
Right. So, like, again, when you read through, like, the Emerald Tablets, I would suggest anybody listening to this, it would be smart to pick up the Billy Carson version because it does explain. It's called the Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, a Beginner's Guide. This book, when I read it, it changed the way I thought about everything, about spirituality, about religion, because it's obvious that a lot of different religions take components of the Emerald Tablets and parts of the Sumerian Tablets for not only their history, but their spiritual knowledge. And it's hard to see that a lot of different religions are really quite similar. But yeah, when you read through it, you can easily see a lot of the world religions take large portions of it. So Thoth himself was considered to be the master of masters, and he chose to try to bring man out of the endless cycle of reincarnation, as I said, into the third, into this third dimensional illusion. So what is meant by illusion? So have you ever heard that term? Like, we live in an illusion, right?
Right.
So you, have you heard that? Like, have you heard, like, do they mention that? I don't know if they mention that in the Buddhist text or anything like that, that the universe itself is an illusion.
They call it a dream.
Right. So there, that's one interpretation. So a dream is one interpretation. Let's put that down. I want to write that down. Then you have many people who believe we live in a virtual reality, which would essentially be the exact same thing.
Simulation.
Because you can pretty much prove it. Like, yeah, this, that's the simulation theory. That's what all the, essentially the atheist type folks chalk it up to be. But it really, it's the same exact thing. And then the other people would say that it's a dream. So illusion is the other one. I think those are the three main ones I can think of off the top of my head. So in the mystic religions, like mystic Christianity, like different mystic ones, they would call it an illusion. A lot of like heavy thinkers, like I would say like Plato, Aristotle, something like that, would call it a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, like the thinkers of our time call it a virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
All of these suggest that our universe really isn't here, but it is, obviously. It's here because we live in it, right?
Right.
So the universe, and this is a, even in the, there are CIA documents on this. According to the CIA documents, the universe is actually a hologram. And what does that mean?
Yep.
It's all energy. And if you take, this is provable, you can take, you know, everything is made of atoms. And if you magnify an atom using a microscope, like a really powerful microscope, you can see that it's energy. So everything is literally energy. We just perceive it as solid, right?
Right.
And that's the idea.
In fact, there is no solid. Just the molecules are moving so fast, it appears to be solid.
That's why in like the there's certain types of like ancient knowledge that's been forbidden from us, like the way they built the pyramids, or like the guy in Florida that's building this huge stone monument or whatever, and he was doing it by himself with no help. Apparently, he learned the secret behind all this. And again, that everything is energy and everything is frequency. Like the blocks and all that respond to a certain type of frequency and you're able to levitate them, according to what I've read.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think it's like, I think it was the Tibetan monks that were also able to do that. And there was a guy that went out there and witnessed this and documented it. But again, that's the stuff that people laugh off because it can't possibly be possible because, you know, physics, right? Is, but what if, again, we're only taught a piece of the puzzle? Because if we knew the full truth, we would be able to conquer this, you know, conquer reality itself. And that's something that's been withheld from us. And the way it's withheld from us is through various means. One is, you know, religion. Religion keeps us bound to a set of parameters, and anything outside of that is evil.
Yep.
So, like, that's part of, you know, the reason why I want to talk heavily about religion is, again, I want people to still believe what they want to believe, but I also want to know, like, do you really know where your religious beliefs come from? So, like, lately I've been asking, you know, as many people as I possibly can, you know, where their religious beliefs come from. Anybody know? You know, a lot of Christians, like my mom, for instance, I talked to my mom about it, and my mom, you know, says Christianity comes from Jesus. I mean, yes, it is essentially, it does stem from the teachings of Jesus. That is correct. But, again, you still got the whole Old Testament, and you got the New Testament, right? So the New Testament applies for Jesus. The Old Testament does not mention Jesus.
Nope.
So where does that come from? And a lot of people will say, you know, it comes from God. How do you know that, though?
You don't.
The thing is that people are literally scared to ask because they're afraid of going to hell. And honestly, man, I've talked to a lot of different people. I've researched a lot of different religions over the years. And I've come to the conclusion, there's a reason why you can get the God connection in any religion you follow, any even without following a religion, just practicing meditation. It's because... God is always out there. He exists. He is the source of everything. And seeking something higher than yourself automatically grants you that connection. That's what it is. So it doesn't matter which religion you follow. So you don't have to be bound by these control schemes. And I mean, a lot of religious practices are super controlling, man. Like, I mean, I just read a story that I forgot what country it is. This woman was like beat to death for showing parts of the skin in like I think it was like in one of the Middle East countries or something like that. And like a lot of those religious practices can be really just messed up, man. And really, really controlling, and they demand obedience. I mean, think about that. Demanding obedience, just like the God of the Old Testament, that demands complete obedience, bowing down. That does not sound like the God that's presented in the New Testament.
But we have free will.
Right. Exactly. That's a valid point. It's like something I've always talked to my mom about, like the idea of free will and there being a complete and total plan for every aspect of your life. It cannot coexist. You cannot have free will and have a plan for your entire life. That doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I've always kind of concluded, yes, I think there are events that are ordained in your life to happen. I think you do have to go through some stuff, and honestly, it's hard to see unless you're looking back on your life. And that's the key, is looking back and really learning, like, hey, maybe I went through this so that I can get to this point. But if you don't do that, you're going to keep doing the same exact BS and repeating your same exact mistakes. And that's one thing I'm big on, is like learning. I learn from everything. I can't have anything happen to me anymore without being like, okay, what can I learn from this?
It's a lesson, right, exactly. Like everything has a reason. Yeah.
Right, it's the idea that everything happens for a reason, right? But sometimes the reason is just BS. Sometimes the universe is crappy. It really is. And it's, you know, the universe is chaotic. It's unpredictable. Things change every single day. Like there's somebody that interpreted, the future is not set in stone, right? But it can be predicted if you were to stay on your exact same path, your exact same thought patterns. Yes, they could easily predict that you're going to make choices leading up to a event, right? Let's say tomorrow you were to make a complete lifestyle change. Obviously, your future would have to change with it.
Yeah,
that's the idea there. So it is. I don't know. Like you were talking to me about it the other day. The idea, that essentially all time exists simultaneously, like the past, present, future exists. I think
it's all happening right now. Yeah.
Right, and it's deep and really hard for our brains to understand because again, we are bound by third-dimensional thought.
That time is linear. Yep. So it's one direction.
Right. We're like bound by the idea that it just goes in a straight line and nothing happens. You know, we're born, we die. In between, some stuff happens.
Yep. Which I don't believe, but it's like you said, it's hard to comprehend it or even explain it, that all of your lives that you've lived are happening simultaneously. Not chronological order.
Right. Like, I've never been able to get behind the idea that we just live one life and then, bam, we're either in hell or heaven. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Like, 70 years on Earth determines your fate for eternity. It does not make sense.
That's wild, yeah. Like, 70 years on Earth.
Compared to eternity. Yeah.
Right, man, you better not mess up. You're going to be in fire. I mean, if that does happen, man. If I'm going to end up in hell for speaking my mind on stuff, then I'm okay with that. It's okay. I'll live.
But yet, it's all living God, especially there, even though you had free will in the first place, then you'd be punished for having free will. Forever.
Right. That's just wild, man. There's lots of ideas behind free will that are like, have always made sense. Like, so in the law of one, which I wasn't going to talk about it, but hey, why not? In the law of one, they mentioned talk about the Ten Commandments, right? So in the Ten Commandments, they're saying thou shalt not. That in itself is a violation of free will.
It is. It might be a guidance, but it's not a commandment. Yeah.
Right, and they were saying that it was actually influenced, according to them, by a negative source. So, again, they speak heavily about, they reference the like the Sumerians and the, they don't necessarily mention the Anunnaki specifically, but they allude to them, right? And they do say that the Bible is a collection of both positive and negative sources. And again, I think I've mentioned this before, but like as you're channeling deities or whatever you want to call it, maybe they weren't channeled, maybe they were actually interacting with these people. And, you know, certain gods wanted complete control and obedience, and certain ones wanted to lift up mankind. And that's pretty obvious once you read the stuff. There's a lot of text in the Bible that's super good. It teaches you how that your thoughts create reality. I mean, I can, maybe I'll do that for the next show. I'll try to research all the spots that, all the Bible passages that are suggesting that, you know, your thoughts create reality and literally how the proper way to pray is to use, like, what's called the law of attraction. If you don't know what the law of attraction is, you need to look up the law of attraction. Because whether or not you want to admit it, you're creating your own reality every day.
Yes. The person's journey. You're born alone and you die alone.
Say that one more time.
So like I say, life's a personal journey. You die alone and you're born alone. And from that point, from one to the other, you may have influence with others, but ultimately your life is a personal journey.
This is correct, my friend. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. So again, like I freaking, back to talking about like the, because I had spoke to my mom about where she thought Christianity comes from. I asked a few more people when I was at work that I just come across randomly, generally people that I see wearing religious stuff on their shirts. So like I asked five Christian folks out of five, three of them said their religion comes from Jesus. Two of them says it comes from God and was compiled by King James. And, I thought that was kind of funny myself, but, two of the people I asked, were of Islam faith, which is also Muslim. Both of them said their religion stems from the teachings of Muhammad, which is actually correct. It does stem from the teachings of Muhammad. It's also an Abrahamic religion. three out of three of them were practices of Hinduism. This is one of my favorite ones to research because, again, I have the Bhagavad Gita, and I've read a good portion of it, and I'm trying to read more of it now. But there's a lot of good spiritual material in the Bhagavad Gita. They allude to wars that happen. Like, they describe what seems to be the use of nuclear weapons in the Bhagavad Gita, 100%. And it would make sense because of the area that came from was said to be where the continent of Lemuria was. And Lemuria and them were apparently fighting a nuclear war. And there we have in this ancient text descriptions of what seems like nuclear weapons being used. Pretty freaking coincidental, if you ask me. But I mean, allude to that in the biblical stories, like the way they describe these people, becoming a pillar of salt and being vaporized and stuff. Like, sounds like nuclear weapons.
It does. In that same story, they say in that turning to a pillar of salt is actually a mistranslation. It's actually turning to ash, or like you said, being vaporized.
Right. Right, being completely vaporized. It's our understanding of what nuclear weapons do once they kill people is also messed up, man. It's wrong. Like, those are things that should not exist. Like, we should not possess weapons that can wipe out the entire planet. That is the ultimate human ignorance. Like, why are we doing that?
mm-hmm.
You ever thought about that? Like, why, like, when people say, talk about, like, for instance, like, when we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, like, people are like, oh, it had to happen. Like, that is wild. Like, the fact that people are okay with that is mind-boggling, man. That may, 100,000, I don't know how many thousand people were killed. It was a lot. Like, I need to probably look that up in a little bit. But there was a ton of people that were just literally vaporized, man. and
you're lucky, you are there.
Fallout.
If you're unlucky, you're part of the way that you die slowly with radiation poisoning and who knows what else suffering you go through.
Dude, we were lucky that freaking Hitler wasn't able to bomb us. I mean, have you ever watched that dang Hunting Hitler show? Like, they were building nuclear weapons in South America, man, to strike the U.S. Like, they had plans to strike Manhattan Island, according to this freaking these documents. And that's crazy. They actually mentioned it in the Law of One. What's that?
I was going to ask you real quick. Do you think the only reason we haven't had nuclear fallout is because it's being prevented by extraterrestrials?
That is the that is what I've been, you know, a lot of the people in the conspiracy community would say, is that, you know, that once we started doing nuclear testing, there was like an increase of UFO activity like 100 times more than we had seen in the past. And there's been a lot of people say that they're powering down missiles randomly, that, like, there's a lot of these people, like, that have come forward and testified under oath to this kind of stuff. You know, like, the guy I work with is talking about how many, you know, UFOs he's seeing around nuclear power plants and stuff, nuclear sites. Could that be the case? I mean, I hope so, man. I hope so, because, like, again, all it's going to take is one idiot to launch a nuke, and then the world is going to blow each other up.
That's awesome. Hey,
it's crazy, man. Like, and it's not, like, people, for instance, when you talk about, like, North Korea, like, oh, yeah, let's go to war with North Korea. But I remember during when Trump was here, you know, we'll make that place a parking lot. It's the leaders that suck, not the people, man. Like, that's not who we should be trying to kill. Like, the leaders are what the problem is. And we're just okay with bombing entire cities of people who are just like you and me, just trying to go to work and live their daily life. That's mind-blowing, man. This is part of the, you know, stuff that we need to get over as humans if we're ever going to evolve, is like, our leaders are who are putting us against each other.
It's manipulation. Yeah, most of they say our leaders actually get along with each other. They just want the war for personal benefit.
Oh, 100%, man. Like, this crap is an act. Like, politics and all that is definitely an act. These people are holding hands behind closed doors, most guaranteed. Like, all of it. They call it political theater for a reason, man. Like, it's a manipulation. And people get sucked into it every single day and can't see that it's all a joke. They're just taking our money and making laws that apply to us and not them.
But here's an interesting thought. They're saying actually that the reason we're having such an issue with Russia right now is that actually Putin is actually pushing for disclosure. So right now they're trying to turn everybody against him. That way it can't get out.
Bro, so this is a subject that's it's touchy with people, okay? It's touchy, but I do... Man, there's a lot of evidence suggesting that Putin is actually not as bad as the U.S. has made him out to be. Like, I mean, think about it. Everything we know about Russia in the United States is told to us through school, told to us through our government. We even, you know, since the Cold War, we've been told that these people are evil and that they're trying to nuke us. And what if that? How do we really know that that is the case? Like, seriously, we've caught them lying about so many things that why would we believe them on really anything, honestly? Like,
and there's got to be a reason why America is one of the most hated countries in the world. There's a reason for it. Maybe we're the bad guys.
Yeah, man, it's, again, this will invoke people who are like, oh, I hate this country, you should just leave, and that's stupid, man. No, I want to wake people up, and I want people to understand that there's a lot of manipulation going on in the world, and the control of information is key. Like, the most powerful weapon that a military has is the control of information. That's it. Any nation in the world, the most important thing they control is freaking the control of information, propaganda. Like, Hitler realized
that's
that.
It.
Like, the freaking the video device, like the video camera, was literally invented as a propaganda device for more propaganda. Like,
and how easy and is it in this day and age to do that? Yeah,
dude, it's super easy. Anything that comes onto this freaking screen, people will believe. Like, I can start a new following saying that, I'm going to just throw it out there, that the moon is Jesus. Jesus became the moon. I could post a YouTube video, and people, it just makes some convincing facts, and people will believe me.
People used to think the moon made of cheese.
Bro, it probably is made of cheese for all we know. Like, there's a lot of theories about the moon, but...
Who knows? And now you got this deep fake stuff where you could take a video clip of Putin and change it to where it actually looks like he's saying something he's not. And you just trust what you see. You don't know. Yeah, deep fake is just...
Yeah, for anybody listening to this that doesn't know what deep fake is, I strongly suggest you look into what deep fake is. Because, again, it's just like he says, you can take a likeness, or a computer program can take the likeness of somebody and from, you know, say a movie star, and from many, many different movies compile this 3D model of this person and give them to say anything at once,
mm-hmm.
make a video of it, and it's not even real.
And that's very convincing. Have you seen it? It's called Face Dance. It's on your phone. You can download it right now. And it makes you look like you're singing something, and it's so real. It actually looks like a picture of you is actually singing something. It's that you can do just on your phone right with a simple app. Imagine what they can do with computers and stuff. They didn't even tell us about
it. What are you talking about? Face Dance? Is that what it's called? I'm going to download it.
Face Dance. Yeah. I mean, it looks like you're legitimately singing. It makes your mouth, animates your eyes, your face. It's so realistic. And it's from a picture of you. And who knows, like I said, what else they got they don't even know about.
That's wild, man. Dude, I've been tripping on some of these new iPhone features from the new update, dude. Like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. Just the description of that is nuts. Like how you can freaking highlight people and take them out of photos. Like, it's nuts.
it's so easy to edit.
Back to the Putin question. So, again, in the conspiracy community, a lot of people say that Putin is actually a good guy, and that's one of the reasons why Edward Snowden, when he escaped from here, he went to Russia, because Russia is one of the only countries that will not extradite to the U.S.
Right.
And again, a lot of people say that he's actually on the good side. He's fighting against the people that are really controlling the world. And he does.
The cabal.
Like, he's apparently – yeah, the cabal. He's apparently really open with his people about disclosure, like, and
mm-hmm.
wants to tell the rest of the world. That is one of the things. And, like, the other things I've heard is that, I don't know, like, he was attacking Ukraine because Ukraine is a big sex trafficking headquarters. Like, that's, you know, what certain people are saying. Again, I don't know if it's true, and still innocent people are dying, and it sucks. I want that to be made clear, that I'm against innocent people dying regardless. I'm not supporting what they're doing. Just to be clear, just to clarify here, folks.
And they call it the greater good.
I'm just saying that everything is not always what it seems. Like, from the beginning, you know, there's a show on Gaia called False Flags, and, like, the whole Russian war thing was saturated all over every single news station, and they were painting this, you know, this grim picture, and, like, you know, how do we even know what's really going on? We don't.
We don't. And they,
we don't.
I saw the thing a while back when it showed us stock footage of, like, Russia attacking Ukraine, and somebody actually pointed out. That was a video that was captured years ago, and they're passing it off as something that's happening right now, just to make it look like, you know, there's war going on.
Right. I don't know, man. It's a crazy idea, but, this is something it's been a part of our, you know, humanity, our civilization since the beginning, dude. Like, we've been manipulated, and the story has been shoved down our throats in certain ways to make certain, you know, groups look better and certain groups look like crap. And honestly, man, the seeking of information is what will give you power. And again, there's all sorts of sides to research to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, man, it's easy to get off on tangents and this kind of stuff. No, no worries, though. It happens.
Yeah, that's so good. This kind of stuff likes to slide in there. It's a subject. It's a subject. But anyway, let's get back to the more we're going to talk about.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about Atlantis and the Atlantis and the Lemurians. I think it's important to just briefly discuss the other one, even though this is mainly about Atlantis, right? So it's important because, like, this version of the story with how they were destroyed is a war between the two. So, again, Lemuria was located in the Pacific, Atlantis located in the Atlantic. So according to, in the book, The Chronicles of Akakawar by Carl Booger, like, they were claims that both civilizations were home to two races of gods, quote-unquote. Two civilizations more advanced than the current one. What does that mean, the current one? So, again, apparently there was different civilizations. So this is, according to the Anunnaki stories or whatever, they were saying that the Thoth created the Atlantean civilization. Obviously, him and his cohorts were essentially gods, so they had advanced knowledge and advanced technology. And I'm assuming, I don't know who exactly created Lemurian, because I have not researched that one specifically enough. But whether or not it was actually Anunnaki people or it was somebody from another star system even, who knows? Because honestly, again, the Anunnaki probably claiming a lot of this to be their own history when there probably was more beings from other star systems interacting too. I mean, if there's one group that was able to come to Earth, there's bound to be able to be others, right? Yeah, easily, man. Like, if we can build rocket ships and go into space in our day and age, it's not that hard or far-fetched to think that this has been able to happen in the past. It's human ignorance to believe that this is all that there is and that no other races of beings exist. That's crazy to me.
It is. I agree.
So it says, again, these two civilizations were more advanced than the current one. They ended up coming into conflict, thus developing a war with aircraft, probably more advanced than we're thinking. We're thinking, like, you know, jet fighters and stuff like that, probably more like UFOs and whatnot. And apparently they were using nuclear weapons. And in the end, both sank due to this catastrophic war. I don't know, man. That's one of the things, like, again, in the back of the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about how, like, I think it's like Vishnu used this weapon that shined with the force of 10,000 suns, and I'll go back and read that later. But I don't know, man. Again, so like Atlantis had this advanced crystal technology, and if both sank, you know, like they said, you know, like the Bermuda Triangle was where one of the, like, the pyramids with the crystal in it was, and thus creating this freaking crazy effect whenever it activates, right?
Right.
If you look at the map, there's a – we got to do, like, this video-wise so I can, like, have this stuff pulled up. Once I get my computer, man. Once I get my computer, my map pretty quick, like, I'm going to be able to pull this up so we can do this live and actually bring up all these maps and stuff that I've looked at. Dude,
yeah,
these maps, like, I mean, it makes a lot of sense, dude. Like, yeah, according to this map, it was – so many ads in these dang things. Yeah, Atlantis was, like, essentially, again, in between Africa and North America and South America, just right there. And it extended all the way up to above Europe and by Greenland. And then Lemuria was right of Australia, and then part of it was in between Australia and Asia. There was actually a landmass there, and then once it all sank, it was, you know, Australia essentially became an island.
Yeah.
Even though it's obviously a continent. But I don't know, man. I find it interesting, again, because, like, essentially what the Lemurians, that would have been, like, where the Indian folks lived and India, Asia Minor.
Keep in mind as well, though, back then, if this is that far back, these maps we have today look nothing like they did back in those days.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, with I mean, the Earth is constantly changing, man. And the idea of continental drift and all that kind of stuff, like,
polar
I mean, we're one catastrophe away from everything being shipped. Yeah, pole shifts. Like, and this map does include, it does look like Antarctica is still frozen down there. I don't know. Pretty fascinating to look at, man. This would definitely be something that would obviously be more, if I could pull it up and show everybody, it would make a whole lot more sense.
One day we'll get there.
We'll get there soon enough, man.
A few years looking now for gaming, so I said, we'll get your computer, we'll try and with that and see if we can go from podcast style to video style.
Yeah, man. I definitely... Definitely, that's the route that I would definitely like to be going here. We'll look at my other notes here. Yeah, we talked about the different versions of the Atlantean stories, essentially like how, you know, they ended. So there's, it's really, again, hard to find information on it. Like, the information that's in the Emerald Tablets is, it's really dense and hard to understand. It's just like trying to read the Bible and make sense of it, right? It's, you really, really got to be, whoa, what are they talking about here? It's a lot open to interpretation.
Yeah. That is definitely true.
And then, what was that? I was talking to somebody the other day. Like, oh, it was somebody that came into work. I tend to analyze who I got in front of me. Like, there was a person that came in with the, they were wearing the flat earth shirt or whatever, and they were talking about, I was like, hey, where does the idea come from? You know, like, where does the idea that there's a sky come from? And he said, well, it comes from the Bible, and God created the firmament. You know, if you don't know what the firmament is, that's the, essentially the dome that God created that separates the waters, right? So, essentially, they say the earth is a flat platform, there's a dome over it, and then we got the sun and the moon over here. Honestly, looking at some of these maps, it's kind of interesting. But, like, I asked him, you know, that...
It is.
Like,
it is interesting.
He got it from the Bible, right? And he's like...
Right.
He started talking about, like, the most common defense is that, you know, like, we've been told something our whole lives, that, you know, the earth is round, and science tells us this, and it's just been something we've been told our whole lives, and nobody questions it. You know, I can get behind that way of thinking. Obviously, that's what I've been saying. But the rebuttal is, how do you know that what the Bible is telling you is true?
You don't.
And he couldn't give me an answer. He couldn't give me an answer because it's the exact same principle that you're going off something that the Bible is telling you and that your church has told you and that, like, this is just the way it is. Like, you're not allowed to question them.
And we have no way
again,
of going up there and seeing for ourselves.
Right, and we don't. We have no way. Like, there's only, like, I don't know how many exact number that have gone into space, but it is not very many people according
not
to NASA reports that have actually gone into space, at least officially. I mean, again, in the conspiracy community, there's apparently a whole breakaway civilization if you want to believe that. That's I try to tiptoe up to that psychologically because it's hard for me to accept that we have like literal bases on the moon and stuff like that. Because, I mean, again, there's a wide body of people in the conspiracy community that, and, like, eyewitness testimony that suggests that we literally have an entire breakaway civilization living in space. And I don't know.
You say we have no way of knowing. I've heard stories of people who come from military backgrounds claiming they've been on Mars fighting in wars. They can take stargates to get there. But how do we know?
Right, man. How do we know indeed? Like one of the stories in the Emerald Tablets, he's talking about, you know, flying through space and stuff like that. But what he's talking about is, like Billy Carson, like he's talking about astral projection. Like, you're able, through meditation, through deep meditation, you're able to leave your body and go elsewhere. And they literally explore anywhere you can possibly think of. Obviously, this takes a ton of practice. A ton of, you know, getting used to, but it is possible. I mean, I've done it in my dreams by accident. Like, I've never been able to, you know, consciously do it through meditation because, again, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of mind quieting that, quite frankly, my ADD brain doesn't allow me to do.
I've done it twice consciously, but in both situations, it was only for moments. And by the time I was able to actually do anything, I was snapping out of it. But I've done it twice consciously, but I do it every night subconsciously.
Right, and like my friend that's been able to do it, he says like the moment you experience any kind of fear while in that state, you get snapped back.
Yep. Right. Yep. You do.
And that's what is right. It's really hard when you're looking at yourself. You're like, oh my god, am I dead? Like, and like every time I've tried to get up to, you know, almost feeling like I'm able to do it, like I'm afraid I'm dying. Like, it's stupid, but it's something I haven't been able to quite work past.
Well, your
I've definitely
that you can't
been able
exist
to
without your body. So yes, it's in your mind. It's implanted that you cannot exist without your body. So that's always going to be in the back of
right
your head.
Right, and as much as I've learned, like obviously, I still have skepticalness built into me. That's just the way I am. Like, I believe a lot of the stuff I research, and it definitely has opened my mind, but I also am skeptical at the same time because I know that any source of information can be a manipulation, ultimately. And that's something to know. Like, that is something to think about.
Yeah.
Like, anybody listening, again, like, just because you're told something doesn't necessarily make it a fact.
Follow your instincts. Only you know the truth through your instinct and your gut.
Right. Like, truth is truth, man. It can't be anything more than that.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right. There was freaking one other thing. I had a friend who sent me, he was talking to me about some of this stuff. I hope he was listening, but he was talking about the different versions of Thoth. So
mm-hmm.
he was saying that Thoth actually equals, because he actually equals Hermes,
mm-hmm.
Hermes and Buddha and Jesus. So he's, according to some of the stuff he's researched, like this being is actually all of these beings. And, you know, that actually does kind of make quite a bit of sense. So he starts out in Sumerian as Ninjis Zitta. And again, if you look into the teachings of Ninjis Zitta and Thoth and read the Emerald Tablets, like, it actually does make sense because it's very similar to the Buddhist teachings. It's very similar to the, definitely is Hermes. Like, the Hermes Tablets are pretty much exactly the same as the Emerald Tablets. They're just,
mm-hmm.
you know, different eras of time. So what he's been trying to do all the time is trying to, you know, wake up humanity. And could these people be the reincarnations of him, or are they, you know, literally him? So I think that I think Ninjas Zitta, Thoth, and Hermes are all the exact same. I think they were in the same body. I think that was him.
Yeah.
However, I don't know about Buddha and Jesus, like whether he reincarnated to them or what. But
Buddha, I'm
again,
not sure about that. Even Buddha say Buddha was not a guy, he was just a teacher. He has never worshipped as a guy
right
or a deity. And neither was Jesus.
Like, when I'm looking at wasn't it saying like that there was how many Buddhas before that Buddha? Like, is it
I
him?
Forget how
or
many, but there's apparently Buddhahood. It's a common thing in Buddhism. There's not just one Buddha. There's, a main one. But before the current Buddha became Buddha, there was one before him. And after him, there'll be another one after him. I don't know much about that, but I do need to look into it.
All right. I think on our, because this is a mind-blowingly fascinating subject, I think this next show, I'm going to dig up as many different stories as I can on the Atlanteans and Lumerians, but first of all, find out where the idea of Lumerians came from.
Okay.
Atlanteans and Lumerians.
Because Lumerians aren't so well known as the Atlanteans are.
Right.
So I guess a lot of our listeners may have never even heard of Lumerians. I guess that would be a good show to do.
Right. That would be a show, because I think, again, that they're connected. And
yeah.
Over the years, I've seen lots of different videos, and they talked about how like, there was a lots of different groups that were terrified of the Anunnaki. So, like, they painted them as, they were evil. Like, a lot of them were evil. I mean, that is, the Emerald the tablets, or the Sumerian tablets, definitely say that, man. Like, these, there's essentially two that were on the side of humans. The rest were, they hated them and wanted to subjugate them. Like, one, again, Enki and Ninja Zitta were the ones, or Toth, whatever you want to call them, were the ones that were trying to uplift humanity while the others were trying to enslave them.
All right, so Josh, we got about 4 minutes left. That was a very fast hour. I guess we can go ahead and wrap up here. You want to go ahead and tell our listeners where they can find your podcast to listen to your stuff?
Yes, it's on Spotify. Spotify, the Anchor app, whatever else, Apple Podcasts, I believe it's on, the Synchronized Universe with a three in the beginning, three in the middle, three in the end. And, yeah, man, I try to do one every week, usually on my drives home from work, touching a little bit on the stuff we're talking here, do some motivational stuff, some
stuff trying to deal
with depression in different ways and whatnot.
Yeah, I hear you there. But definitely check them out.
Again,
if you come over to our Facebook group, you can find links to his stuff there as well. Also on YouTube, of course, once this video is done. But once this podcast is done, it'll go up on our YouTube channel as well. All right, so you say our next episodes, you want to focus more on the, I guess, the Marians and the Atlanteans and how the two conflict are compared?
Yeah, man. I think that that would be a good way to go because there's a... It seems like it would be really fascinating. Again, that's not a subject I've read. So I've only read a little bit on the Lemurians. So, like, this is not something that is widely talked about. So it would be good. Yes, I think it would be good to research and talk about. Because, again, that's something not a lot of people know about. Hell, I forgot about that.
That is true.
I was reading it last week.
Very true. All right, so next Tuesday, guys, same time. Check us out for that show. And I do want to thank you once again, Josh, for being on tonight. Quick hour, great episode. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. About 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
We give a shout out to anybody listening, and of course Lisa and all them over at Live Paranormal in their podcast. You can find it on our Facebook page as well. And all right, I guess we're gonna go ahead and wrap up here, Josh. And like I said, it's been a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Anybody that's listening, again, the idea is to get you to think. That's it. Question everything around you.
Question everything and open your mind. All right, I'm going to go ahead and shut this door for you, Josh, and I'll let you go, and I'll catch you on the next show.
Awesome, man. Have a good one. Exit stage left.
All right, guys, I want to thank you again for listening. If you didn't catch us live here, you can catch us on the upload when it goes to the YouTube channel. Also on Spreaker, on Blog Talk Radio, it's on there as well. It'll also go to Spotify and iHeartRadio and those other podcasts as well. I want to wish you all a good night. Like Josh said, question everything. And we'll catch you on the next show. Take care.